The following program is sponsored by Learn to Succeed, LLC. It's not right-wing radio. It's not left-wing radio. It's Think-Wing Radio. Welcome to Think-Wing Radio. And now your host, Mike Honig.
Good afternoon and good lunch. Welcome to Think-Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650, powered by CBS. The call-in number is 713-9650-650. You can also write to thinkwingradio at msn.com. That's thinkwingradio, one word, at msn.com. And I will try to respond to questions while we are on the air. You can also use that email to send comments, opinion, questions, or ideas for guests or future topics. My guest today is Dr. Nancy Napier, a professor at the Boise State University College of Business and Economics, as well as director of their International Business Center of Creativity and Innovation. We're going to be talking about how you can have more aha moments. But first, a comment. How can we encourage genius? Almost 20 years ago, I read an article in Newsweek that made a significant impression on me. Because of today's guest, I thought it would make a perfect segue in a manner of speaking. It was a feature entitled The Puzzle of Genius, written by Sharon Begley in the June 28, 1993 issue of Newsweek. I mention this because I will be quoting it liberally. The essence of the article is this question: what is genius? Is it intelligence, knowledge, education? There are a lot of intelligent, knowledgeable, well-educated people in the world. Some of them are even brilliant. But brilliance is not the same as genius. Genius is diverse. There are philosophical geniuses, math geniuses, physics geniuses, artistic geniuses, musical geniuses, and literary geniuses. And let's not even get into so-called idiot savants, people with severe mental handicaps who nonetheless have seemingly impossible mental or artistic talents. Must we also call that a form of genius? So, what is genius? If we can't define precisely what genius is, then how can we recognize it? Well, by one way of thinking, genius is paradigm shifting. Genius is seeing how the parts of a puzzle fit together when other people didn't even see there was a puzzle. Genius is the perfect confluence of knowledge, intellect, curiosity, and experience leavened by creativity, open-mindedness, and a willingness to explore the allegedly impossible. It is also influenced by intangible things like talent or insight, and a little serendipity doesn't hurt. In his 1988 book, Scientific Genius, psychologist Dean Keith Simonton of the University of California, Davis, suggests that geniuses are geniuses because they form more novel combinations than the merely talented. He says that, quote, in a loose sense, genius and chance become synonymous, unquote. Simon calls this the permutation of mental elements, images, phrases, snippets of memory, abstract concepts, sounds, rhymes, all kinds of things. Intelligence fills the brain with more of these elements, giving the highly intelligent person a greater chance of forming novel combinations of ideas, images, or symbols. So, can we create genius? Is it genetic, environmental? Biologically, the difference between being potentially average, brilliant, or genius may be related to how the brain is physically wired. Also, environment can have some effect on brain development and future wiring, but there's obviously more to it than that. Or every overstimulated baby would grow up to be a genius. Personally, I think it's education that helps tip native talent or intelligence into genius, but not just education in the usual sense. I'm talking about education in literally every sense, everything we see and hear and read. Every random idea, comment, and happenstance, the premise being, the more you know, the more you know. Scientific or technical genius is often marked by interests in unrelated fields, making novel combinations more likely. Gutenberg combined the mechanisms for producing playing cards, pressing wine, and punching coins to create movable type. The computer punch card has roots in automated textile looms, which may trace their roots back to music boxes and organs. Thus, the importance of effective schools, free museums and zoos, a liberal arts education, and the lifelong seeking of new knowledge and experience outside your comfort zone. The common thread here, in many other cases, is diversity of experience. Not only the willingness and ability to take ideas from one area of expertise and make improbable connections to other disciplines or industries, also the diversity of experience to enable those connections. Starve the experience, starve the mind of experience, and the ideas will necessarily be malnourished. If you want big, fat ideas, you have to nourish the mind that's to churn them out. We can't all be geniuses by these or any other definitions, but we can all be more creative. Which brings me to my guest today. Dr. Nancy Napier is a professor of the Boise State University College of Business and Economics, as well as director of the International Business Center of Creativity and Innovation. She is the founder and moving force behind The Gang, which sounds a lot more nefarious than it is, a unique group of 8 high-performing, highly creative organizations based in Boise that at first glance have little else in common, but their leaders have forged professional bonds and discovered just how similar they are in terms of challenges and aspirations. Hence, the whole point of connections helping to helping people be creative, if not ingenious. Her most recent book is entitled Insight, Encouraging Aha Moments for Organizational Success. You with me, Nancy?
I am with you.
Okay. How did we do on the commentary? Do you feel that was a fair segue?
That was a great segue.
Thank you very much.
You got some good points there.
Thank you. And you notice how I went from, hey, we can be geniuses to, well, we can just cross-pollinate.
We can go footballing?
Yes, we can.
We can. Yes, we can.
So tell me about this whole creativity process, because it is a process. It isn't just an innate gift.
That's right. And actually, one of the paradoxes for a lot of people is that it is a disciplined process. And what I've found in doing research and talking to these very successful creative organizations is that despite being really different from football to theater to software, they do have a common process that they use to try and be creative.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Can you tell us a little bit about...
Yeah, they will... First, they review where they've been, and then they do spend some time actually brainstorming and trying to come up with completely new ways to look at a problem. Then they go through a period of prototyping or testing. It has different names in different fields, rehearsal in theater, practice in football. Then they toss out what doesn't seem to work. They pull in new ideas, beta test it, do a final trial run, and then they launch the game, the product, or open a theater night. But they go through this fairly similar type of process where they build in at the front end some time to really think about new ideas. What's interesting to me, and part of it is one organization I work with, HealthWise, which is a medical information provider, online provider. They do all the content for WebMD, for example. They have said that they really want to increase the amount of time they dedicate to that brainstorming creative part in any meeting they do. They'd like to make it about 25% of the time of the meeting. So if it's an hour-long meeting or a day-long meeting, they want to devote about 20% of the time, 20-25%, to being creative, coming up with new ideas.
What are some of the more interesting, improbable connections that have been made across disciplines that you have been aware of?
Well, several of them, actually. One of my favorites is a software CEO who developed a business analytics product several years ago. This is a company that takes masses of data, of information, and then tries to put it into a format that managers can actually use. So instead of getting the one-inch thick stack of paper that's full of numbers, they wanted to come up with some way that a manager could look at a screen and see what kind of information she has and then make a decision from it. The CEO, when I first started talking to him about creativity, he jumped up and he said, well, you know, that makes perfect sense that you have to connect odd things. That's why I study the movie industry. And so I said, okay, I'll bite. What's with the movie industry? And he said two things, actually. One was how they create and form teams quickly to come up with a product on time and on budget. But the second way he looks at or uses the movie industry is actually watching movies. So if you...
It's a tough life, ain't it?
It's a tough life. So if you, when you or I rent a movie, bring it home, normally we are willing to watch it for about 10 to 12 minutes. The movie industry has studied this, and they've discovered that we're willing to put up with about that much time before we say, this is not for me. Some of my students watch them to the end, but most people will give it 10 minutes. And then the CEO said, do you know how long a person will give a piece of software if you sit down in front of it and say, should I take the time and the effort to learn this and buy it? And it's 1 to 2 minutes. So his comment was, how on earth does the movie industry grab me by the throat emotionally and want so that I want to continue watching that movie beyond 10 minutes? And he said, I've got to learn how to do the same thing with a piece of software to make it so emotionally interesting, or even without the user knowing it, but to grab people in such a way that they say, ah, I really think I can use this and learn it, and it's got value to me.
Actually, an interesting analogy to that, I have heard that when you're writing a book or a story, if you don't catch them in the first paragraph or at worst in the first page or maybe two, they're not even going to look at the rest of the manuscript.
Right.
They've got to see something that grabs them and pulls them forward from that point on. We are coming up on a break now. I'm here with Nancy Napier of Boise University, and this is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. You can call in with questions, and we'll be right back.